Hi everyone, it's very exciting to be doing just another episode of the Universal Narratives podcast and continuing to learn more about education, promise and challenges in Indonesia. Today I have the pleasure of speaking with Sayyidatul Fadila, who is the chair of the English language education program at UIN Wali Songo. I was a visiting lecturer at her department before, and it was such a great experience seeing how passionate and motivated teachers in her department are. I'm very excited to have you today. Thank you so much for joining me, Sayyidatul Fadila.
You're welcome, Ibu Salma.
So I'm going to start by asking you to introduce yourself to us. What is your background? What your experience in education, and what position do you hold right now in your university?
Well, my name is Sayyidatul Fadila. I am a lecturer at UIN Wali Songo Semarang, Indonesia. And my position now is as the Chief of English Language Education Department. Thank you.
That's great. Okay, so you work with English language teachers in your department, and there is a lot of teachers in your department who are interested in teaching English after they graduate and complete the program. Can you tell us a little bit more about how teachers are prepared in your university?
Yes, I think it's a little bit difficult for English language educators. Yeah, it is because the occasion or the opportunity to teacher professional development is still poor.
Okay.
Yeah. Was that we have to pay by ourselves if we want to join in the workshop or seminars. Yeah, that is the fact that we need more than was that. Yeah, the attention from our government to give opportunity more and more.
I understand. So what you're saying is that it can be expensive for teachers to participate in professional development activities outside the university because they have to pay for everything, and it can be very expensive for them given how salaries of teachers from my previous conversations with Indonesian educators are not very high. So it can be an extra expense for teachers to seek professional development opportunities outside school. So what about inside the program that you're doing? You're the chief of the English language education program. What kind of professional development opportunities or what kind of courses and classwork activities maybe internship, practicum work do teachers in your program do before they graduate? And how does that prepare them to be teachers of English in the future?
Yes, for students or for teachers? For teachers at secondary school, you mean?
For the students in your program, like the students who want to be teachers after they graduate.
Okay, yes. Okay. We have a workshop about not many workshops, yeah, because of the financial problems. Yes. Was that, but we have the opportunity to invite the lecturers from another universities to be a visiting lecturer of visiting teachers at my university. Yes, and also was that there are some networkings that we are connecting to another communities so that the students have the opportunity to join the workshop, the seminar that's hosted by them. So by maximizing the networking with another parties, another communities, we can give the opportunity to my students to join the workshop, the seminars, to upgrade their knowledge, their skills. Yeah, I think that is the solution for us because of, yeah, you know that we have the financial problems.
Yeah, I really like that you're trying to overcome limitations in your program by inviting guest speakers and guest lecturers and also creating these networking opportunities for students to visit other campuses, visit other programs, and learn from what teachers or lecturers and other programs are doing so that they can gain some experience that would prepare them to be teachers in the future. What about your program? What kind of courses do you offer in your program for students to prepare them to be teachers? Can you give me some examples, like course names? Like, for example, in teacher preparation programs in America, there are classes about second language learning, how to do assessment, technology. Do you have any classes like that, or what kind of classes do you focus on in your department?
Yes, I think it is also the same as
okay.
What we provide for our students. Yeah, because we was that have some courses like TEFL, teaching English as a foreign language, and then was that teaching speaking and
okay
listening. Uh-huh. And then a call, computer assisted language learning, language teaching media, or literacy, multi literacies,
That's great.
I think it is almost the same as what is provided over there.
Yeah, I think it's like there is a set of courses that you would find in any English language education or program or any TESOL or TEFL program worldwide, because I know, for example, like teaching the different modalities is one course, teaching grammar, teaching vocabulary, called computer assisted language learning, as you mentioned, then the integration of technology, material design, assessment is also a main class that many teachers who aspire to be language educators in the future usually enroll in universities everywhere. So my next question to you would be, you mentioned some of the challenges and how you try to face these challenges. And it seems like the main challenge is financial challenge. So how do you prepare teachers to actually teach in a classroom? Do you create any practicum classes for them where they have to actually be in a classroom and somebody observes and watches them? Or do they get a chance to maybe do a course in a school while somebody is coordinating from the university with the school to observe the teacher and their work? Does this happen, like any practicum kind of work?
Yes, we have the same activity that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. We have some practicum classes, such as teaching English for young learners, for example. Give a task for students to come to elementary school, then they observe the real class done by the teacher, and also they can be the partner or team teaching them, was that having them teaching with the teachers, and also they practice by themselves teaching the students of elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is only one of the examples. And we also have the subject named practice teaching. So they go to schools, yeah, whether it is senior high school or junior high school, for at least two months. They play a role as a teacher, as an English teacher. Yeah, they as the English teachers, yeah, they play the role to be the English teacher. So they plan the lesson, yeah, by using lesson plan.
Okay.
Yeah, then yeah, they teach. Yeah, they teach. They make a report submitted to the Laboratory of Education. It is because for practice teaching is organized by Laboratory of Education.
Okay.
Yeah, that is not organized by department.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So it's a requirement for teachers to do some kind of practicum work, and it's usually managed and directed by the Department of Education, not only the university, but it's more like a government entity to make sure that the teachers fulfill that requirement before they work in schools by themselves. So we discussed some of the challenges, like you said, financial challenges, inability to be exposed to different models and examples. What about some strength? What are some areas of promise, some areas of strength, some areas that you think are very strong about how teachers are prepared in your university? So positive side.
I will talk about the distinction, or what makes us different from another universities, especially general universities, not Islamic based universities. It is more on unity of science. For example, if we have an English subject, for example, we can we can use the materials that's related to religious values. That is still English lessons. But yeah, for the knowledge, the knowledge we focus or we concern is more on religious values or religious histories, to make our students know more about Islamic teaching, Islamic history, Islamic education.
Okay.
That is the distinctive
feature.
I
that's very interesting. So because it's an Islamic university, you can and the focus of the university is Islamic knowledge and Islamic values, you can focus your teaching and examples of teaching that you do in with your students, and also whatever the students are doing in their practicum, on Islamic knowledge, which is great, because it kind of like goes hand in hand with what is being taught in their university. And usually there is a separation between teaching foreign languages and teaching religion. But this is, I think, a very unique case because it's an Islamic university. So you can actually integrate Islamic teaching and religion within language teaching, which is great. In a way, it's very unique. I agree with you. So what is the role of faculty members like you? You are the chief of the Department of English Education in making sure that the teachers, when I say teachers, I mean the students who want to become teachers in your program, have the best experience before they graduate. What do you try to do as a faculty member and as a senior faculty member to make sure that the students in your program are exposed to different models, are getting the best out of their program in your university as future teachers?
Okay. As the faculty member, we have three roles at least, yeah. Was that, that is in teaching, yeah, teaching, teaching and learning, yeah, and then was the research, and mm-hmm. also community service. So was that we invite the students to be the part of our research, our community service. So the students was the experience by themselves to be. Was that sometimes observer and then data collection. Yeah, we go to, or we come to schools, they observe, they analyze the data from schools. Yeah, so it becomes accustomed, was that for them to, was that to, yeah, experience by themselves being in real class, and so more than that, because they also analyze the strengths, the weaknesses, was that trying to be a problem solver, yeah, and so on.
That's great. So you have that component of experiential learning where they're actually doing things hands-on, and you also want them to develop critical thinking skills so that they would be in the situation and they would be trying to find solutions for problems that they're faced with and react to whatever challenges they have in a very positive and critical manner. That's great. And I'm sure you're doing an amazing job with that, because when I attended the guest lecturer sessions with your students, I saw how eager they are to learn. They have a lot of questions. They really are seeking knowledge, and they don't want to limit their perspective to one country. They want to learn about what's happening in other countries as well. And I like that practical part of the program and how as I mentioned earlier, there are people coming from other programs and other universities to give students the exposure to what's happening in the field of English language education worldwide. So you mentioned earlier that there are some challenges regarding finances and supporting teachers. What is the role of the government or the country in supporting higher education and especially teacher education programs in Indonesia? It was mentioned to me earlier in one of the podcast episodes that the government dedicates 20% of their national GDP for education. And some educators that I spoke to earlier said that this makes a big difference because it allows a lot of teachers to continue learning and provides more resources in classrooms and facilities for educators in the country. So, but they were school teachers, the ones that I spoke to, principals and school teachers. As a university faculty yourself, what do you see the role of government and the country in supporting higher education in the country, in Indonesia?
Okay, I think what's that? We have to differentiate between Islamic university from general university.
Okay.
Yes, it is because what's that? We have different ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have different ministry to manage, to organize, to what's that, to supervise and so on. Yeah, Islamic University is what's that, below is under the what is it, responsibility of Kementerian Agama or Ministry of Religious Affair.
Okay.
Yes. But for what's that? Another or general state universities under the responsibility of Kemendikbud. Kemendikbud means what is it? The Ministry of Education and Culture. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is also different in financial support.
Okay.
For education, okay. Because yes, what's that? Ministry of Religious Affairs has many cases to what's that?
Support
to be
financial.
Organized. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to be the focus of it. Yeah. So some faculty members say that the budget for the general university is seven times bigger than Islamic University.
And
you know that the majority of the students in Islamic University is the students of middle class or lower class status, social status, yeah, in society. So you can imagine that, if you want to, hold a certain program for my students, for our students, for example, sometimes we have difficulty for managing the event because they do not want to give some tuition fee, yeah, some tuition fee, for example, and the tuition fee for the students of Islamic University is also different from the tuition fee for the students at general universities. Yeah, they are bigger. They are bigger in number. So
yeah.
So yeah, what so you can imagine. So you can imagine.
I can.
how to develop our program if we do not have the support. Yeah, support from the students. Yeah, from the government. Yes, that's the fact.
Wow, that's very interesting to learn. So I think it's very similar to the schools because I remember being told that Islamic schools are also managed by a different government entity, not the same Ministry of Education. Ministry of Education does part of it, but I think also part of it is religious affairs, as you're saying. And it's very interesting to see that it's very similar to the university level as well, because as you said, there's probably a lot of responsibilities for the Ministry of Religious Affairs and providing funding and finances to higher education Islamic institutions can be a challenge. But I am glad to see that in your department, as I said, you're trying to find ways to make sure that your students are exposed and your students are gaining the experience that they need before they become teachers. So what are some changes that you would like to see in the future in your department or in any teacher preparation program in Indonesia that goes under the Ministry of Religious Affairs? What kind of changes, what kind of maybe I would say development you would see like to see in the future, and how would that look like?
Okay, I think was that the challenge for my department, yeah, English Language Education Department, is that in Indonesia, was that the salary of teachers is not good. Yeah, it's not good.
Okay.
And the majority of teachers, yeah, at Kementerian Agama or the Ministry of Religious Affairs are not civil servant. Yeah, their salaries is under the minimum wages. I think it is too cheap. It is too cheap. Paying the teachers? Yeah, that is the challenge. That is the challenge. And also, graduates becomes the unemployer, unemployee. Yeah, that is also the problems. Yeah, because the input or the number of students, the recruitment for students is not similar to the need of the teachers itself. It's not relevant, yeah. The number of students recruited to be, yeah, the students in education department, in education department. So after being graduated from our faculty, yeah, sometimes they are so difficult to get a job to be teachers.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I understand that some of the challenges is the salaries, as you mentioned, and the other challenge would be for teachers to actually find employment opportunities after they graduate, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And these are things that you would like to see change in the future in your department. And I believe that from my conversation with previous guests that I interviewed in the Universal Narratives podcast from Indonesia, they also mentioned that there is a shortage of teachers in rural areas. So I'm hoping that maybe teachers will be incentivized to teach in rural areas, the fresh graduates, the teachers who just graduate from teacher preparation programs with good salaries, so that more development would go to these areas of the country where there is more help needed. Okay, so my last question to you would be, what can we learn from your experience as an educator in Indonesia?
Becoming the students of educational department doesn't mean that after being graduated, they have to be the teachers, but they can be entrepreneur, they can be someone was that with different dream, yeah, because in Indonesia civil servant is the what's that prestigious job, the prestigious workers, yeah, they consider it that after being graduated from educational department, they must be civil servant, they must be the teachers, yeah. If they are unlucky, if they are what's that difficult to be the teachers, sometimes it makes them stressful. Mm-hmm. What's that? Yeah, because in our society, have the what's that? The opinion that the job must be relevant to the education.
Mm-hmm.
That yeah, the education that they takes. Yeah, they takes. Yeah, for example, they study at English language education department. So after being graduated from it, they must be the English teachers. I think they was the wrong in assumption, because was that they can be they can be entrepreneurs. Yeah, they can be journalists. They can be whatever they want.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So what you're saying is that the mindset needs to change, and graduate from your program need to be more open to other opportunities other than teaching, because it's English education department, but it can also provide you with a lot of skills that you can use in other fields as well. Correct?
Yes.
Okay, such as journalism. You can even start your own small company focusing on something related to English education or English language in general. So what you hope to see is that you would like to help teachers in your school understand that there are so many options, and that the culture of just wanting to be a civil employee has to change, because there are limited opportunities for that, and there is a lot of skilled people to be doing other types of jobs as well. Correct?
Yes.
Great. What about you, Sayyidatul Fadila? What can we learn from you as an educator in Indonesia? Tell us something that you did, one of your achievements, something you're proud of that can be inspiring for educators in other countries. I'm sure you have a lot of moments of moments that make you proud, right? We all do.
Yes. I come to madrasas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I get along with madrasa teachers.
Okay, madrasa. Yeah. So just to clarify, madrasa teachers are the teachers who teach Quran, right? And Islamic knowledge.
Correct? Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So that's great. So
Islamic school. Madrasa is, yeah.
Islamic
the
school.
Same as Islamic schools. Okay. I get along with the teachers of madrasa.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, 44 English teachers, yeah, at madrasa.
Uh-huh.
I know them well. I know what's that their privacies, yeah, like salary, what's that?
Yeah.
The experience of getting workshops, seminars, and then what's that their challenge, yeah, their challenges in schools. What's that? The opportunity, whatever. Yeah, I come to them and I try to give something that was that they never get before yet. Especially okay. the knowledge. Yeah, especially the knowledge. The knowledge was that teacher development, TBD, teacher professional development, especially. Because what's that? They have different opportunity from the teachers from state school, state Islamic school, Islamic state, yeah, state Islamic schools, yeah. They, what's that? They are also different, their opportunity are also different from the teachers at general schools. Yeah, so we have to provide the opportunity to them to learn together, to share together. And I invite some experts, I invite some, what's that? The specialist for certain skills, yeah. For example, IT, and then what's that, curriculum, okay. language assessment, and so on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I invite them to be with me in what's that, giving the workshops or seminars to them, to the teachers of madrasa, especially English teachers. Yeah.
That's really nice. I really admire you for this. I know you have so many responsibilities in your department, but you also find the time to go and support teachers who need the help and schools that need the help, because you know what kind of gaps they have in their schools, what kind of knowledge that the teachers need in these schools, and you make the time for it, which is something very unique, something that we all admire. Volunteering and giving your time for people that really need the help. And I think this is a message that we as educators who were privileged to seek knowledge in lots of institutions around the world, or even in our local communities where there are people who need that kind of knowledge, we have to always remember that mm-hmm. we have to give back. We have to give back to our communities. We have to support our local communities to help them thrive and grow. And it's, again, a reminder for everyone all over the world. So at the end of this, I would like to thank you so much, Sayyidatul Fadila, for your time. I know it's late in Indonesia. And I know you made the time, especially to speak to me today. I really appreciate your time, and I look forward to speaking to you more in the future about other topics related to education in the country. Let me know if you have any final comments before we end. Do you have any final comments?
Okay. Yes. My final comment is, thanks so much for Ibu Salma that has given me to speak out about education in Indonesia. Yeah, I think was that there are many limitations. Yeah, for especially the English teachers at madrasa. Yeah, they have limitation in infrastructure, facilities. Yeah, and yeah. Was that we? Yeah, if you want to give some workshop for them, we have to go offline. Yeah, we cannot use online. Was that online method like
university?
If we get along with the teachers that uh-huh. has. Yeah, good laptops and then good signal, good what's that, Wi-Fi and so on. Yeah, they we have to come to them. We have to come to them.
Yeah.
Face to face interaction. Yeah.
Yes.
So we need was there much time to meet them, to meet them up, to what's that, have direct interaction.
Yes, I see what you're saying. Yeah, there are limitations in so many different parts of the world. It's not only Indonesia when it comes to technology and computer access and even access to resources and facilities and speakers and trainers, people like yourself. And it's our role, as I mentioned, as educators who have the knowledge to go to our local communities and share that knowledge and make sure that we develop our local communities, because it's best when it comes from the people who live in the country, who understand the culture, who understand the local languages. And that's what I admire so much about you, Sayyidat al-Fadila, for doing in your country. Thank you so much again. And
you're
I look
welcome,
forward.
Ibu Salma.
Traveling.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you.